Esa Bhutani. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supersoul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone. Through the agency of his external energy, he creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. Purport. There are two kinds of energies in the matter of creation. The Lord creates this material world through his external material energy, whereas the spiritual world is a manifestation of his internal energy. He is always associated with the internal energy, but he is always aloof from the material energy. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 9:4, the Lord says, Matsthani sarvabhutani nacaham teshvavastitaha. All living entities are living on me or in my energy, but I'm not everywhere. He is personally always situated in the spiritual world. In the material world also, wherever the Supreme Lord is personally present, is to be understood as being the spiritual world. For example, the Lord is worshipped in the temple by pure devotees. The temple is therefore to be understood as being the spiritual world. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Darasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nivashesha Sunyavari Paskatya Deshatharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before starting, I want to ask the permission of all the senior Vaishnavas to get into a very difficult subject matter, which might give rise to a stimulating discussion. Yes. In the purport of the, let me start with the Sanskrit. Esha bhutani bhutatma bhuteshu bhuta bhavana svashaktya mayaya yukta sridyat yati cha pati cha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supersoul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone. Through the agency of his external energy, he creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. In the purport to this shloka, Srila Prabhupada quotes the ninth chapter, verse 4. All living entities, Krishna says, are living in me or in my energy, but I'm not everywhere. He is personally always situated in the spiritual world. In the material world also, wherever the Supreme Lord is personally present, is to be understood as being the spiritual world. For example, the Lord is worshipped in the temple by pure devotees. The temple is therefore to be understood as being the spiritual world. When hearing these words of Srila Prabhupada, we are getting great inspiration. We came together for three wonderful days with lectures, with a transcendental theater play, and we saw multivision, and at least to those devotees to whom I had chance to speak, they all told me that they felt greatly inspired by being in a temple like our Onviksk God temple, the residence of Sri Sri Panchatattva, and we all might have had experiences of being in the spiritual world. However, Wednesday is running out by the seconds today, and we are approaching Thursday, and then we might begin to travel again, and whilst being in our Sankirtan vans or going to a temple where not so much programs are going on and where there are not so many Vaishnavas, we will have to face one thing which we will have to, one subject matter which we will have to face until we are fully Krishna consciousness conscious. This subject matter is something which is extremely personal to each one of us. It is in how much are we able to translate inspiration and knowledge into our practical day's activities. We have heard a lot, and certainly before we have also heard a lot, but how much are we able to practice it? So in today's lecture, I want to attempt, it is a humble attempt only, to show, to give some philosophical ideas on the relationship of knowledge and activity in regard to this knowledge. I would like to make a few strong arguments and also would like to defeat the materialistic knowledge in acting on this. It's a great task. And let us see. It is I intend to give this subject matter as an inspiration to all the Vaishnavas, but I'm painfully aware that I can't exhaust this in one lecture. Plus, every one of us has to dive deeply into the subject with his own understanding and his own realizations and so on and so forth. We want to start with a personality who was able to act upon the instructions which he received from his spiritual master, and who was able to also translate these instructions into activities. We are speaking of Aruni, the disciple of Domya. Domya, as we know, is the spiritual master of the five Pandavas, and he had a couple of very wonderful disciples, one of whom was Aruni. Aruni once received the instruction to protect a rice field. As you probably know, a rice field is bordered by a mud wall in order to keep the water inside the field. It is like a little basin, and also in order to protect the field from being flooded with too much water. So when Aruna came to this rice field, he saw that a little little irrigation river, you know, some had broken down the dam or the dike to the rice field and was threatening to overflood it so that the rice plants would get too much water. He could not find any ordinary ways of patching up that dike. So because he had received the instruction to protect it, he was throwing his body into where the hole was, and in this way he protected the water from entering. So the night came, and Domya was asking his disciples, "Have you seen Aruni?" "I have not seen Aruni. Where is he? I'm worried." One disciple said, "Well, the last thing we saw of Aruni is going to the side of the rice field, and he never came back from there." So Domya said, "Well, let us go and look. Maybe something extraordinary has happened, or he's in danger, something." So they went, and Domya shouted into the night, "Aruni! Ho, Aruni, my child, please come if you are there." So then from within the rice field, they heard the voice, "I'm here, oh my lord, I'm here, protecting the rice field." So Domya went, and he saw his disciples lying there in the mud, protecting and taking care of his own body that the water would not enter. And he was so satisfied. He immediately took him out, he embraced him, and he said, "Thank you very much. I'm so pleased with you. I bless you that the four Vedas are revealed within your heart." So that was done. Aruni was in this way rewarded for his selfless service. So this story, which is standing right at the beginning of Mahabharata, is giving the mood for a disciple. A disciple should act on the knowledge which he receives from his spiritual master, even though it may be difficult. Like for Aruni, he didn't eat the whole day. It might have been cold or chilly when the night arrived, and it is not very comfortable to live in, to lie in the mud all day. You never know, maybe a snake is there in the field. But he gives a very nice example. Right at the Mahabharata opens up with this story. So we also want to become transcendentalists. As Prabhupada said, a devotee is a living transcendentalist situated in Krishna. We want to be able to act upon the knowledge which we receive, because in our heart of hearts we have already accepted that this is the truth which we have to simply realize in order to fulfill all our needs. Shraddha in Krishna consciousness is defined as the faith that just by doing this one activity, all my needs are fulfilled. So if we could just be able to conquer the lower self, which always keeps us from keeps us in a schizophrenic action, where we know something and act in a different way, we could be Krishna conscious in 1 second. Srila Prabhupada, he answered once a question. The question, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And he said, it may take... you may not become Krishna conscious after many lifetimes, but you can become Krishna conscious within the matter of 1 second. It is dependent on this particular point, being able to act upon the knowledge we have received. So, in trying to address this very difficult subject, we want to start with a little prelude, introduction to the subject. It is in some verses in the Bhagavad Gita on Sambandha Gyan, which explain to us our situation in this material world. This is the first thing we have to know if we want to become living transcendentalists situated in Krishna. We first must know from which point are we starting. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamai vangsa jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana manasang sthanindriyani prakriti sthani karshati. The living entities within this material world are my eternal fragmental parts and parcels. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Earlier, Krishna had defined that the mind of the living entity can be his best friend, but it also can be the worst of his enemy. If he is able to control his mind, the mind becomes very helpful for progress in Krishna consciousness. But if he is unable to control the mind, the very same mind becomes a killer in a spiritual life. So, why is this so? What is the function of our mind which determines his being the enemy or the friend? This is explained in another wonderful shloka, which appears in the 14th chapter. Purusha prakisti stohi. Again, this verse opens with the same subject which was discussed in the 7th chapter of the 15th verse. Prakiti stohi. The living entity which is stationed, sto, or which is standing, which has his locus standi in the material world. Prakiti purusha. Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte. This is a key word. Bhungte prakriti jangunan karanam guna sangasya sad asad janma jonishu. The translation reads, the living entity in material nature thus follows the way of life, enjoying bhungto, this means enjoyment, the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. This was very nicely explained by one devotee. I have to repeat this. Hridayananda Maharaj, he said, sometimes the living entity enjoys in the womb of a dog, then he is enjoying in the womb of an aristocratic woman, and then he is placed in the womb of a cockroach. All these different prakritis tohi, these different situations within the material world, and these different births within the different wombs of different mothers, is due to the enjoying tendency of the living entity. You can see, according to someone's taste, he is attracted to a particular kind of enjoyment. I remember Srila Prabhupada giving lectures in Stockholm, public lectures, trying to make the Stockholmers understand Krishna mit Vedanta. And he said, even if you are a drunkard, if you just understand that the taste within wine, that is Krishna, you will become self-realized. Anyone who was in this lecture, he was thinking, oh, Prabhupada is going to a great extent in order to elevate the Stockholmers. It was a very nice event, actually, which took place. Yes, some are drunkards because it's a matter of taste. They somehow like this taste. And in a few days we will be able to see a lot on the Viking line going to Helsinki. Yes. Others are, their sense of enjoyment is for other things. So according to this, you associate with different modes of activities. Drinking is in the mode of tamagun, and there are of course activities in other modes, and you acquire a certain kind of germ which germinates into a certain life form. You either get a birth which is arranged by the mode of ignorance or passion or goodness. I think we are all well aware of this subject, and there is no need for further explanation. Now, this philosophical subject, you place your mind into something, some kind of, into some mode of material nature, some enjoyment in this mode, and subsequently you develop your next body is a central theme in Bhagavad Gita. Yang vapi smarang bhavang tvad jante chakalevaram. Oh, please someone help me, I'm lost. Yang vapi smarang bhavang tvad jante chakalevaram tam tam evaiti kauntiya sada tat bhava bhavita. Bhava means feeling, emotion, and bhavita means state of being. Here you see the emotions or the ideas, the mental setup decides bhavita, or which means pragitista, or here our situation within this material world. In other words, thinking and being are linked in Sanskrit even with the same root words. This then is our situation. We have to be very watchful or attentive to what our mind is thinking throughout the day, because that we will become. And then we have to watch our activities also throughout the day, because our activities have in retrospective or in return, they have an influence on our mind. Mind has an influence on the activities, and activities also have an influence on the mind. It works both ways. So after understanding so much, let us progress. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find another description of our situation within the material world. Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena konteya dushpu rena nalena cha. Thus, the wise living entities, thus, the wise living entities, pure consciousness, becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. this Dushpuri Nanalena Cha, which burns like fire. Here it is said that the living entity in its original pure state is Jnani Na. That means he knows. Prabhupada translates the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered avritam by vairinam, by his enemy, which is in the kama rupa, the form of lust. This is the situation. It is this lust which drives us to act in a way which we don't even want. It is this lust which drives us to act in a way which is detrimental for our spiritual advancement. By understanding spiritual knowledge and by acting upon spiritual knowledge, patient practice, we will be able to overcome this lust. I want to read from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 45. Arjuna wants to know, how does a wise living entity or does a living entity act? And he puts a question, sthita pragyasya kabasha samadhi stasya keshava sthita diking prabhasheta kim asita brajeta kim. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? This all is very nice questions. What does he do? Here, asita means like asan, sit. When does he remain inactive? And brajeta means to move forward. When does he act? What does he do? So this is Krishna's answer to this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the Self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. There are only two situations in this world. One is prakritosthi, situated in the material world, like Dira Shanta Prabhu theater, there was one song, we are spirits in the material world, spirits, and so on and so forth. This band, not the Gauranga Bhajan band, it was another band, had taken this subject from the Bhagavad Gita, because the leader of this band, his name is Sting, has read the Bhagavad Gita and is a follower of this philosophy, and he has understood very nicely. Prakriti stho, we are, and then there's something else. Stita pragyas, again sti or sto, that means situated, and pragya means knowledge, of course. So there are two situations in this world. One is either you are situated in the material world, or you are situated in pragya, in Krishna conscious knowledge. Now, Krishna conscious knowledge is defined here as being free from the mental concoction to be the enjoyer of sense getting, of sense gratification. Now, before coming here, I was of course thinking, what shall I talk in my one chance in my only in this lifetime to address all the Scandinavian devotees. So I was thinking I should study a little Swedish history, and I've done this, and I came about the many Gustavs, Gustavs 1, Gustav 2, Gustav 3, and so many Gustavs there were. I think the present king, is he also called Gustav? Yeah, always Gustav. My Opa was also called Gustav. He is from Sweden, my Opa. So I just studied this a little bit, not long, for half an hour, and then the idea was clear. All the Gustavs, they were great sense enjoyers. and it was amazing. When they rose to power, they immediately fought a war with the poor Danes, with the Finnish people, the Russian people. They even went so far to go into Germany, and they even conquered the Germans. They were great fighters, all the Gustavs. Especially Gustav III was a very good fighter. I was just thinking, they were throned, and then they made a campaign in order to increase their political power, show the people, we are the right ones, we have conquered the Danes, and we have taken all their marzipan and all their drinks, soft drinks, hard drinks, and in this way we give you sense enjoyment, and we also are the greatest sense enjoyers, look at us. For instance, Gustav III, he was always going in fancy dress. He was a liker of stylish fashions and perfume and everything. And I remember reading that he was going to a costume dance or something. Costume dance. He was dressed in a very great, wonderful fashion. He had a silken robe. Seen this? It's no night. It is displayed in the museum for history, Swedish history. Fancy dress. And yes, and then and there he was killed by a bullet. I think this is so wonderful. I mean, not because, see, he was thinking by mental concoction that he is the Lord and Master of Sweden, but he was killed. He was not the supreme Lord and Master of Sweden. He was killed by some other fanciful dressers. You know, they just shot him, and after 3 days he gave up his plan, his life force. This is material life. By mental concoction, you imagine yourself to be something wonderful, just like Dira Shanta Prabhu has shown on his screen. You know, a whole material life was shown. It was done very nicely. There was this our actor and our actress. They were coming, and you please remember, she was very impressed when he promised a house, and then she said, "But we need to have, I think, altogether three." She wanted, and a car, and then after, and this was so, I thought, perfect harmony, nice marriage life. And they looked so satisfied. I mean, maybe it was because they were devotees acting. And then all of a sudden it turned, vroom, he had to work like a dog, day and night. And then when he tried to eat his cake, he bit on a stone, and and then the Yamaduta dragged him out. It is only a mental concoction, some aerial, surrealistic thing to imagine yourself to be an enjoyer in a world of suffering. This is Maya. This is illusion. Yes. So we are slowly moving onwards. So sthita bhragya, we must be situated in knowledge. There are only these two positions, either to be Gustav, if king, or an ordinary Gustav, or Ingemar, or Niels, or Mats, and Ole and all these names, or to be, it is in effect the same. Someone who, however, is in knowledge, he is not identifying with the mental concoctions of the yastas. He is acting upon spiritual knowledge. He is detaching himself from this manogatan. Manogatan means mental concoction. Please kindly remember this. In Swedish, I think the word gatan, Carl Friedrich's gatan, it means road. So here the word managatan is used. Prabhupada translates it as a mental concoction. The road of mental concoction. This is where we are all situated if we are not acting on spiritual knowledge. We will be forced to act by our mind in the road of sense gratification. This can be, any Swedish person can easily remember this. Manogatan, because gatan already means road in Sweden. Or mental speculation. We all are aware, and some alert listener to Keshe Maharaj Vishnupad's lectures has understood. Sometimes there's a principle in these lectures of don't be merging in and don't be on the mental platform and so on. We all aware of this subject matter, I think, from these lectures. So, much could be, of course, explained. In the Bhagavatam, it is said, Rite Ritam, about this road, Rite Ritam, Rite Ritam Yat Pratiyeta, Na Pratiyeta Chatmani, Tat Vidyat Atmano Mayam Yathabasho Yatatama. This road is not in high favor of the Bhagavad philosophy. It says here, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, oh, this is wonderful, this I want. Whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection in the darkness. So, very nicely explained, this Manogatan in the these are in the Chatur Shloki, the four verses, the key verses of the Bhagavatam. This is only a reflection in the darkness. It is not the reality. Just like if you have a pot, and on the pot the sun is reflected, and then that sun is reflecting into the darkness, this is not the real sun which you see in the darkness. In the same way, these values which are good, or to think this is good or this is bad in the material world, and to try to enjoy a good wife and a good van and a good dhoti, this is actually a savabram. It is a mistake, because it's only a reflection. Just like if you think that a reflected sun is a real sun, no, you will only get a limited a light from this reflected sun, not the real light. In the same way, these mental concoctions, that this is a nice apartment, this is a nice villa, I want to have it, or this is a nice ant hole, I want to occupy this ant hole. Why is no one allowing me to, why are there so many candidates? It's just like in Japan, the ant may say, so many occupants for this one hole. The mental concoction, in other words, goes on and on and on and drags us through the different life forms. This has to be given up. In Srila Rupa Goswami's description of pure devotional service, there comes the shloka, Anukul Yena Krishna Nu Shilanam Bhakti Uchate Gyanakama Janavritam, then Jnana Kama Janavritam something. So it says pure devotion is service to Krishna, uchat bhakti uchate, that is called bhakti to Krishna, which is jnana kama janavritam, which is free from this mental concoction of kama and jnana. So this is confirmed. Now, okay, we have understood so far that we must act in spiritual knowledge, otherwise we will be on the manogatan, on the road of mental concoctions, and we will engage in valueless material activities, which are the cause of our new material body. As you are aware, karma is defined in the Bhagavad Gita as that which is the cause of our new material body. So, anavritam, Krishna has stated that the vice living entity is covered by lust, and he has used the word avritam. Now here the Sanskrit word by Rupa Goswami is anavritam, not covered. By what? Karma and jnana. So this I think is all very clear from this shlokas, and we know what we have to do. We have to give up our karma and jnana desires. Now, this is a central theme of the Bhagavad Gita, and now we are approaching the last part of this lecture. The theme is, when knowledge is discussed in the Gita, actions are discussed. Knowledge calls for action, in other words. Krishna conscious knowledge is not something for armchair speculators, as Prabhupada used to say, but it's for doers. Here, Krishna describes what is knowledge. Etat jnanam iti praktam. It is coming in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, texts 8 to 12. Humility. He gives the symptoms of knowledge. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, whew, wife, whew, home, whew, and the rest, whew, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. Now, if you go to the 14th chapter, a similar description has been given. Arjuna comes back to his question in the second chapter, what are the symptoms of someone who is transcendental? This, for those of you who want to read it, I won't get into this now because it will overextend the lecture. The question is, oh my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior? It is in the 20, verse 22 to 25 of the 14th chapter. In other words, knowledge means to have a behavior, to have a mood, to have activities. It is, and we ourselves, the other day, Van Mataji asked, how can we recognize our spiritual progress? And a certain answer was given, but here are more answers in these verses of the Bhagavad Gita. If you, you have to act according to the knowledge. So, now, I want to speak a little on material knowledge, and then I want to try to give some Shastric references. How are we able to act upon knowledge? We want to say, sometimes devotees are interested to read outside of Prabhupada's books for different fields of knowledge, psychology, history, this and that. Now, material knowledge, we really do not accept to be knowledge at all. Krishna says in the 13th chapter, those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body, and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, attain to the supreme goal. That is in the 35th verse of the 13th chapter. In other words, spiritual knowledge has to be spiritual. We have to know the difference between the body and the soul, and also know how to extricate the soul from material nature. To know how many medium-sized shirt bottoms are there in Alnwick is not really knowledge. Say, Yashoda Dulal would come up and say, I have to give some important knowledge now. I have counted all the medium-sized bottoms on male kurtas. And I have found an exact number of so and so many thousands. We would not say, oh, Yashoda Dulal, you have, this is a sign that you are brave. So the fourth Brahmana said, wait a minute. This fourth Brahmana was not so much in detailed material knowledge. That was not his expertise. Wait a minute. If you instill life into this lion, this will become very dangerous for us. He might kill us. He might be hungry after so much lying around. No, said the others. This is now knowledge. You don't understand. You are a fool. But the Brahmana said, no, he had common sense. Just wait with your mantras. I just want to climb up a tree. I want to use my knowledge for that. So finally, they spoke the mantra. The lion came to life and ate the three Brahmanas. So this is what happens with material knowledge. Because it is not aimed at freedom from bondage, it will entangle us. Remember, the mind is either the friend or the enemy. And I think our materialistic our materialistic times, they give an accurate showing of this, an accurate demonstration. People are destroying themselves with their material knowledge in the field of ecology, in the field of weaponry, in the field of technic and industrialization, in the field of psychology, which seems to be responsible for human relationships. They are destroying themselves on all frontiers of knowledge. If you consider it with an impartial eye, you can see this clearly. So now, at this point, we want to come to the end. I will take only 5 more minutes, and then concentration can go in all directions. But please give this another 5 more minutes of strenuous effort. We all know that to know is not enough. We may know something, we may have heard something, but if we would be able to act on this, we would be by now pure devotees. This is a subject which Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 33rd verse of the 3rd chapter, he says, Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows his nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? You might have had this experience. You might have tried to become a little thin, and you might have thought, if I'm becoming so fat, I won't be able to move if this goes on. And you might have tried to apply this knowledge at the Sunday feast, and you might have failed completely. I think we all know what the discussion moves at. It is our own weakness of heart. And Krishna seems to give a blank check for this. He says, yes, all right, even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? Mm. Now, this subject amazingly is taken up in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is explained in the first canto, chapter 6, verse 35. So very nice. I was thinking I should have also some quotes from Bhagavatam, but this is, and I just leafed through it and Krishna opened the page. It is so nice. Please listen to this. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. For this is satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the personality of Godhead. In other words, yes, you are forced to act helplessly in this as someone who is prakritosti, who is situated in the material nature. If you, however, take to devotional service, you are able to see, first of all, theoretically, to understand how shreyas, that means a long-term goal, is more important than prayers, and secondly, you get the spiritual taste by which you can give up the lower taste of sinsjötning, of sense gratification. This is the wonderful gift of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has given gifts which can induce rich men's son to give up their comforts and lie on the barren floor and accept the life of brahmacharis. In other words, by the practice of devotional service, we will develop the spiritual strength, not hridaya dur balyam, that means dur is very meager, balyam is strength, that means weakness of the heart, but no, we will get strength of the heart, whereby which we can very nicely advance in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will help us to remove the coverings of lust if he sees someone sincerely engaged in the process of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna gives some tips how to come over this avritam, this covering of the soul. And he says, first of all, the senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. This is something which anyone can experience who observes an Ekadasi Vrata. By regulating the senses and the mind, you are able to not be a lustful person. Yes, this is so. And it's so wonderfully explained here. If I don't have the time to read all this, it's in the third chapter, verse 40, and the ongoing verses, and he ends his description, thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind and intelligence, O mighty aunt Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Again you find one should steady the mind by intelligence, by knowledge, and then by spiritual strength act upon this and fight the lust. So this is a wonderful great help is given to all of us with the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the eating of Utsakt Vegetariska Matan offered to Krishna, and so on and so forth, by reading and by following our sadhana very strongly, we will be able to free ourselves from the covering, and in this way our spiritual fire will shine forth and burn to pieces all material contamination, so that we are pure souls, anavritam means uncovered souls, able to return to the eternal dancing place in Goloka Vrindavan. This is very nice, and this is what is expected of everyone. Krishna consciousness is jnana, but more than jnana, it is vijnana. It is not theoretical, but it is practiced knowledge, practical knowledge, and it will enable us, if we just practice this knowledge fully, to go back to Krishna in this one lifetime. And what is more important than this? Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patience with me. I must admit, this subject is something which I will be working on the next lives. the next years, hopefully not so many lives. And try to understand in depth and get quotations from many, there are many more quotations, how knowledge in Krishna consciousness means acting, and please take this not as another formal thing, you know, oh, we were in a Bhagavad class, and now comes prasadam, let us forget that Bhagavatam class, or now comes practical life, let us forget that. We all should think about these things. For instance, in my own Krishna conscious life, there are instructions of Prabhupada to me which I have not fulfilled. So this is, while giving this lecture and preparing for this lecture, I'm thinking very deeply on my relationship to Srila Prabhupada and how to fulfill his instruction. It's cooking. He asked me to cook. I should learn cooking. I can only do halava so far. And upma, which is in the same family. Yes, you have to... Yes, this is... Now we have to think deeply about this. Are there any fragor questions? Now you have to. Here's my question, lady.
Is a preacher allowed to read so-called books about material knowledge if he wants to apply it onto his preaching?
Prabhupada said there is no injunction against newspaper reading, as far as I heard. Now, but we shouldn't read so many other books. I mean, I talked about Yustavs, all the Yustavs, and it was just in Jöteborg, I couldn't go to sleep. I was so excited. I preached, and it was 12 o'clock, and my schedule was already mixed up. It was nighttime, and so I found in Padmanabha's bookshelf this short, comprehensive study of Swedish history. So I thought, well, I have one chance to preach to the devotees. I will just go through, and I found this Gustav III, and I thought he is a good example. But otherwise, I would never read such a book. In great detail and length. First of all, we should understand what is Prabhupada. If we know Prabhupada's books, our knowledge is sufficient. However, there may be our specialized preachers. For instance, those who serve in the Bhaktivedanta Institute, that's the scientific preaching branch of ISKCON, and they have to read all kinds of books. And then there is, and they have been given the order. In Germany, there's one devotee, he's a genius in physics, and he has also given the order to study some physics books. That's a special order, because he will be engaged by his spiritual master to preaching to the scientific people. But usually, if we have not such a special order, to read Prabhupada's books is fully sufficient. You will find so much in there. For instance, I mean, when you read, you have to regularly read Prabhupada's books when you want to preach every day, because if you read a few days not, then this knowledge will almost leave you. You don't find the access, and you don't see the details, Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada is so detailed for every branch of preaching. For instance, the reincarnation subject matter. He explains about people who are very attached and who stay for a long time in coma before they leave the body, and he explains the principles, how this works. In other words, you find a practical psychology in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. There these things appear. Deja vu experiences, everything. Prabhupada gets so much into the details. So, in general, I would answer those who are preachers, they should study Prabhupada's books and know them, like they should know them. And then later, if they get study some direct order, then they will be protected. But if you're doing this without being protected, I mean, anyone knows there's a very, very, very small limit. For Krishna consciousness, we only need, when we say even a specialized preacher, only need so much material knowledge just to hook on to what the karmis know, and then he wants to give Krishna conscious knowledge. This is his duty. So some little preaching examples, like say you are preaching in Zurich in this preaching center, you will hear from other devotees. You just have to hear some lectures. There are certain lecture givers who give a lot of examples from this world. You can hear from them. But I wouldn't advise to get into this. Prabhupada didn't want this. He didn't even want us to study other books than his books. He would guide us very strictly on just reading his books. And for instance, I personally read never materialistic books. I have friends who make photocopies of important places in the books which I need. For instance, I gave a university lecture on the chances for peace in the 20th century. And I had to be prepared. I had to know what is with the Pershings and so on. So I asked one friend who is in the peace movement to make photocopies of things, and I was prepared. Because if you go into these Kami books, there's only garbage. There's no Siddhanta, no conclusion, and it is extremely boring. either it is extremely boring or it is interesting for your mind, and your mind gets on the Manogatan, on the road. I think we should... Is there no Manogatan? Maybe there is a Manogatan in Sweden. If there is a Manogatan, please make a photo and send it to me. I want to use it in a slideshow. Must be Manogatan. Sounds Swedish, Manogatan. The road of mental speculation. And there you will be lost. Chiranjeev Prabhu. Yeah. Thank you very much. This is for instance, those who have the order, they should definitely learn something. We shouldn't be too arrogant to think, oh, they have no knowledge, but they have no siddhanta. Their knowledge cannot be actually called knowledge, because knowledge is defined as first of all knowing the difference between that is what is eternal and that what is temporary, and second, to know the process of liberation of the eternal soul. Knowledge is already defined. So that their data, so to say, the accumulation of data, and that is there in the material world, we can certainly use, and we should use. There's this Avaduta Brahmana in the 11th canto. He learned from a prostitute. Yes. Nothing bad. He learned to give up this world. Nothing, not the art of deception. He didn't learn this. Or the art of the flesh. No. The prostitute got frustrated by waiting so much, so long for people who would buy her love, and then gave her up and said, I'm so frustrated. I have been identified myself with this body, which is a... And then she went into a graphic description of the body. Bones are the beams of that day, this house of the body. And I've forgotten my best friend, who is Krishna in the heart. And the Avaduta learned from her. So we can learn from data, and if there's an order, we should definitely learn, like farming, for instance. If the farmers don't read what should be done, when to plant what, then they will misspend so many kronos. I mean, they will put in the winter some potatoes, you know, because they think it's a winter potato, and you know, lose the precious seeds. Oh no, seeds. Potatoes are not seeds. I think small potatoes. Yes, small potatoes, yes, yeah, plant. So yes, if it is your service. But this you knew already. For instance, when you have a computer, I think you have a computer book. I mean, it would be foolish if you just try to... You could play for many thousands of years before the computer without getting any... Better buy an instruction book and just press this and this and who... This, who? So on. Nothing? Please. What is your name, Prabhu? Prana Vada.
Can you elucidate a little more about the difference in the attitude of one who is approaching transcendental knowledge with the feeling of Jnanamisha Bhakti, the one who is actually doing it for a sincere desire to develop transcendental knowledge?
Oh yeah. The difference of someone who approaches transcendental knowledge with Jnana Mishra Bhakti, he wants to have knowledge, and then with a pure desire to what? To for Krishna consciousness? Yeah. This is of course a very deep subject matter. Ultimately, we hear that knowledge is not important. I even read a purport where Prabhupada says the gopis didn't know so many things, but they are our examples. They are the greatest knowers. In the beginning, I personally think, please correct me if I'm wrong, but our bhakti is Mishra. I mean, I know, for instance, my enthusiasm for certain, when I get into certain subjects, I really want to know this, and I also become highly inspired when I can connect thoughts to each other, and I know it's a... I'm a little like this sometimes, unfortunately. Sometimes I just want Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please save me. Sometimes one just wants to also, there is tendency. Now, but for Prabhupada did not discourage this. He didn't say, when you approach my books, be careful to not have any desire for knowledge. He said we should study it and know the books. He has said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that a preacher should be prepared to argument with different classes of people and present the Krishna conscious philosophy as a Siddhanta. So you can only do this if you have a desire to know something and so on. And by utilizing this desire into preaching, there's nothing wrong. Some of us are not so interested in this kind, but in a way I wouldn't say they are better off. See, what is knowledge? Knowledge is our best friend when we have troubles. To what will we turn when lust is burning up our senses and our mind? To whom will we turn when we are utterly in Maya and we think so many confusing things? We turn to the Vaishnav, and the Vaishnav explains everything to us. He gives us knowledge. And because we're turning to the Vaishnav, from his heart also something is flowing, as Vegavan Prabhu was explaining in the Harinam Chintamani seminar, that there is this... is it Hladini and Samvit is flowing? Kladini and Samvit, this knowledge, realized knowledge, that this is flowing. So we should want to know, especially there are areas like Suhodra Swami, who we all know can give very, very elucid lectures. And when he comes back, he will be more than fantastic. He's learning under Bhakti Purna Vidya Maharaj and Atma Tattva Prabhu in Mayapur, and he's studying everything, and it will be amazing when he returns. You can be rested assured. He once gave a very nice, I thought this was very nice. He said, I was a space out devotee for a long time, and then I thought, it is not possible. I can't go on like this. I will not become a devotee. Now, I must understand our philosophy. What is the mind? How is the mind acting? And if you know that, and your mind spaces out, you can just laugh. Hare Krishna. Yeah. But if you don't know that this is a show only, then you will be fully identified. Like an old lady who goes for the first time in the cinema, and the hero is shot and she laments the whole night, you know, in the cinema. No, Oma, no one is shot. It is just on the screen, some light, you know, don't lament. If you don't cultivate Gyan and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment, you will be always dragged into Maya's illusory cinema shows. And Maya has a lot of shows. She has a perfect show for you, Pranava. just hit it to you. Tapasvini Brahmacharini. Everything is there. Oh, for the Brahmacharinis, tapasya das Brahmachari, who will lead us, Matajis, one Mataji will be my hubby and will lead me to the strands of eternal perfection, Siddha Deha, no problem. So, yes, she has the right movie for all of us. So knowledge, I would say, is very important. Prabhupada, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has quoted this. He said, my only complaint of my disciples is they do not know enough. They do not read my books. Sorry, this was wrong. He didn't say that. They do not read the book. Because we are not pure, you don't think, or do you personally think, if I may ask a personal private question, do you think 24 hours on Krishna's divine form with love and devotion? No. Do you sometimes sleep? Then you don't think. Yes, this is so. It is a very deep subject matter, and I must prepare myself to get deeper into this. But this is. Any other? Yes, Mataji. Yes, just like in cooking. When you want to realize the art of cooking, then you have to get a cooking book, obviously, and you have to have some faith that this Hare Krishna cooking book, it is tested. My older brother once did the first edition of the Hare Krishna cookbook, and he had all wrong measurements because he didn't know the right translations of the English measurements into the German. And I was sincere. I tried to cook with this cookbook, and I lost all my faith because it was the wrong cookbook. It never worked out. Everything was just terrible. I have heard that there is a reliable cookbook, the Yamuna cookbook, but my faith is broken, unfortunately, from this bed. So obviously, to install your faith, you have to have some faith. It comes down to this: you have to invest your faith in something. Now, you are right. There is a prerequisite of faith before you do bhajana kriya. It starts shraddha and then bhajana kriya. Ado shraddha tato sadhu sangha sabhajana kriya. I mean, it's a at the beginning is faith, then there is association with Vaishnavas, and then there is activity, bhajana kriya, regulated activities. So it all starts with faith. Now, to invest the faith, the Vedic scriptures have given us criteriums. Here, as you know, the spiritual master, if we invest our faith into a spiritual master, there are criteriums. Who is a spiritual master? Who is not a spiritual master? Once we have applied these criteriums, which were given in the Vedas, the one who gives knowledge, we can accept him on faith. I would like to answer your question in this way. You have a spiritual master. You have seen him. I think Sri Vishnupada is your spiritual master. Yes? So he is we have seen, very dear to Krishna. Krishna saved him. Krishna saved him. He's now dancing like a young boy in the programs. He's very dear to Krishna, must be. And he has realized he is not the body. I mean, must be, from all these experiences. In other words, you invest faith in a person. And what he says, you can, I think, follow, because your faith is justified. See, sometimes people, when we preach about the spiritual master, they say, oh, you are just like the Christians who think Jesus is the only way, and when you talk with them, they don't know anything, how to go about in life. They don't know the simplest truth. They are just idiots. This is what Germans think about Christians. I mean, if they are intellectual Germans. They know the Christians have no philosophy and they can't explain their philosophy. So they say, you are also like this. You're following your guru like the Christians. But we can say, no, it is not at all like this. We have proofs from the Gita. We have seen the qualification, what a spiritual master should have. There are so many things, how someone who has spiritual knowledge acts. We were giving a few shlokas here, and we have seen Prabhupada embodying them all, and therefore it is not at all blind following. We know he embodies the qualifications, therefore we can invest faith. Like, I can't invest faith in Vaidyanath's cooking book, in my brother's cooking book, because he is not fulfilling the qualifications of a translator. Therefore, I will not bother any more with this cookbook, which has spoiled my face. It's so simple. They are not the required qualifications. If you look for something, you have to look for the qualifications. If someone says he is God, you say, show me your universal form. If he does not stand up to this qualification, he is not God. Krishna fulfills the qualification. Just a note. One famous bogey yogi in India, I guess he has heard our challenge. He says, I'm God, you all are God, I've realized that you not. This is the only difference. But we are both God. All of us are God. So I think he must have heard the challenge of the devotees. If you are God, show your universal form. And on the back of one of his literatures, he has his building, wonderful building, and then superimposed. This is a technique which you saw in the slide presentation, where one picture was fading out and the other was fading in a little. So that they were, this is called a sandwich photo. You know, when superimposed on this big building, you saw his ugly face, and the door inside the building was his mouth. So underneath it is described, this is a universal form of such and such. And I was just thinking, who are the people who believe this? It was taken, this photo was taken in mystical, during a mystical trance. Now mystical things are something which are not physical. According to also to their definition, the photo is not seeing mystical things. Only in the consciousness you can see mystical things. But they just went over this this important point, philosophical point, and just presented it. So everything should be judged by the qualifications, and then you can invest your faith. This is also important for those who follow, want to accept a new spiritual master. Please. In a humble way, not challenging way, what do you know about Vedanta Sutra? What do you know? What is the third shloka in Katha Upanishad? You must know, have realized all the scriptures, right? In a humble way, we should see, is this personality, can I invest my faith? This was discussed yesterday. Ajamida, we are coming to the last question. Yeah, please, Ajamida, you always have good questions.
About the spiritual master, that is so important for this person.
Yes.
But I would like to elaborate on the position of a person who is taking up the devotional service and progressing, accepting him as the spiritual master.
Yes, no, a person who is starting this devotional service, he reads the books. And, isn't it? He reads Prabhupada's books. This is a must. I mean, anyone. At some time he will read Prabhupada's books. So he reads and he learns, oh, what is the process in this intellect rehearsal? Oh, I have to chant Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes, and he's getting into spiritual practices. Now these spiritual practices will purify his heart, so much so that he will want to understand what is Krishna's plan. How does Krishna see my advancement in devotional service? And he will come over verses he will come to verses where Krishna explains tat vidhi pranipatina, you have to accept a spiritual master, and so on and so forth. Now, something very important, a person who is not in spiritual knowledge, a newcomer, a beginner in Krishna consciousness, usually they don't like authority. They don't like the concept of a spiritual master. I personally was an anarchist as far as my political convictions were concerned before I came to when I came to Krishna consciousness. And the moment I saw the high seat and the picture of Prabhupada on the elevated seat, I was turned off. I have to admit this. I was thinking, this is not for me. Here is an authoritarian structure. But by some purification, I understood, well, the spiritual master is important, and then the spiritual master is not at all an authority which one has to revolt against. The spiritual master is my best friend. He cleans my cloth. We were explaining on the Namhata lecture. He is taking, purifying me with his through his kind guidance. There is no way to express one's gratitude to a spiritual master who takes the care to accept one and to guide one in Krishna consciousness. And even if the spiritual master is, I have seen many times when Prabhupada, for instance, Nino Horgan once read Prabhupada Leela, and in this Prabhupada Leela, Srila Prabhupada was chastising a female reporter. The reporter said, "Why do you have a bald head?" Made something derogatory, some statement. And she got very heated. So Prabhupada said, the female reporter had a mini skirt, but had, of course, long hair, like women have naturally. So Prabhupada said, it's better to have warm legs and a cool head than cold legs and a hot head. And she couldn't say anything. Her jaw just oop, and finished. Barren legs, she said, naked legs and a warm head. And Nina Hogan read this, and she phoned me the next day. "Sachinana, Prabhupada is against women. I knew it. Maria told me in my heart." she's a little confused sometimes on certain philosophical issues. But someone who takes, if the spiritual master takes the care to correct someone, it is only his mercy. He cares for the person. He wants to elevate him, sometimes with a shocking method. So, two things. This one gets purified by the process of devotional service and comes to understand what is the process for further advancement. And one sees the spiritual master and thinks, "Oh, I want to be initiated by him." When I first, I was still very unruly, very new bhakta, Smita Krishna Maharaj knows, he was the one who took great care of me. He was the reason why I stayed in Krishna consciousness in the Hembuk temple. He was so patient, whereas Bhakti Bhushan Maharaj was very heavy. I would always take shelter in the ocean of mercy of Smita Krishna Maharaj. And also Avinash Chandra, he also was explaining many things. So when I came to Prabhupada, I was very distant still. I thought it's Virta Master. But then Srila Prabhupada smiled and gave me a rose, and everything was gone. I thought, no, I must surrender to this person, to this personality. When he came for the first time in the airport, in my mind, I mean, I don't think, it may not be true, but I saw many lights around him coming, like suns, so I was a little mystically interested. And Prabhupada just, I think he did something, or so at least I saw all these suns, and then I saw, well, he is a very special person. But I still didn't want to surrender, because I knew he would take care of to I would have to give a lot of, give up a lot of things. Violin playing, I would have to give up. I was very afraid. So many things. But then he gave me the rose and smiled, and I said, yes, all right. Not all right, please. So when one understands this virtual master, one wants to be initiated, because he is kindness personified. So, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.